morning. Praise the Lord. Father, we just are so grateful and thankful to be here, Lord. Father, we know that where two or more are gathered, you're there in your presence. And that's because, Lord, we all have you abiding in us through the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to have your way, what you want to do in this place, what you want to do in our hearts, what you want to do in our lives. Lord, we give you permission to work. Lord, we just thank you that you are at work in this world right now. Even though the signs and the times show contrary sometimes, we choose to believe, Lord, that you're at work in hearts and lives right now, drawing people to yourself, causing others that we know, friends and loved ones, Lord, to question, Lord, their lives and that they need something more, and you are the more in their lives that they need. We just ask, Lord, that you'd allow this service to bring you glory as we worship you. I pray we'd worship you in spirit and in truth today. That we would fulfill the will of God in our worship today, giving thanks and praising you and honoring you for the adoration and the glory, all that you're due. We magnify the name of the Lord. We magnify the name of the Lord in this place. We say, you are Lord. You are our God. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the God of gods. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are here with us right now. And we look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love your presence. You're such a good dad to us. You're such a good dad to us. Your presence is vital in my life. Your presence is needed. It's like air in my lungs. It's vital to my life. It's vital to me.
Singing about his presence and loving his presence. You know, Catholic Church calls this his presence. It's just crazy. But why they say it is because they believe that his body and his blood is in the elements. Now, we don't line up 100% with that, but over the last 5-10 years, the Lord's really showed me that there's more to communion than just a tradition. There's more than just a celebrating his death and remembering his death. That it's called communion, which also means common union, which means that we're remembering that he didn't just die for us, but he made us one with him. He lives in us. He abides in us. He's chosen to tabernacle in us instead of temples made with human hands. And so today we're going to take communion, family communion. So if you'd like to, you can come up and get your elements. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we love your presence. And Lord, even though this is not going to be your physical body and your physical blood, Lord, it represents our union with you. And you said those who eat my flesh and drink my blood would live forever. So there's something supernatural here that our natural minds can't always grasp. But Lord, we receive by faith today all of the power that's in this communion celebration. All of the healing, Lord, that's in this.
Yeah.
All of the healing of our hearts and our minds from past hurts and wounds that the enemy's inflicted on us or we've inflicted on ourselves. Lord, all the healing, Lord, for our sicknesses and our diseases, our broken bones, our broken organs, our flesh that seems to be decaying, Lord, we receive the life that's in communion today. We just thank you, Lord, that you said on that night that this is the new covenant in my blood. And you handed them the juice. And this is my body that is broken for you, and you handed them the bread. You told them that you desired to have that meal with them, but you would not have it until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So, Lord, we thank you that you have set up this moment for us today to remember, to receive, and to even celebrate your death because it brings us life. So go ahead and open up the little wafer. Did you get yours okay, bro? You didn't. Okay. See, that's why I'm checking. You're welcome. Yeah, it's a little puzzle. Did you get yours? Oh, good grief. Oh, okay. Everybody else is ready. Okay, there we go. Help the pastor get the wafer. Let's go ahead and lift up the bread. Lord, we thank you that you were broken for us so that we could be made whole. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you were broken, Lord, so that we could receive, Lord, a mending and a healing and a restoration, Lord, for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that as we remember, Lord, your body being broken, as we receive this by faith, Lord, we receive the work of the cross, the fresh work of the cross afresh in our lives. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and take the wafer. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and open the juice carefully. I got that part. Lord, we thank you that your blood was shed for us. Your perfect, spotless, without blemish blood. And your blood washes us clean, purifies us, makes us holy, makes us righteous, Lord. Doesn't just cover our sins, but it obliterates them. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, today we receive the life that's represented in this juice. That's a representation of your blood. We receive the life by faith right now. And we just thank you, Lord, that you went through torture, Lord, so that we could have abundant life. And we receive that now by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Thank you, Lord, for being our sacrifice, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us. You have chosen us to be your people. You have chosen us individually, Lord, to be your sons and daughters. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you took our suffering. You took our pain. You took our sin, Lord, so that we could live holy, righteous, healed, and lives whole. Restore what the years the enemy has broken and stolen, you've restored. The life that was trying to be stolen from us, you restored. We just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
We declare.
When Pastor was opening, talking about the fire and the heat, and This is how good the Lord is. This morning, as I was praying, he gave me this portion of scripture, Psalm 65. Drench the plowed fields, soak the dirt clods with rainfall, as harrow and rake bring her to blossom and fruit. How many of us have been dry somewhat and just need a drenching of the Holy Spirit over us and in our lives? I don't know what you want to play through this, but if that's you, however God wants to touch you, if it's come up here, if it's just raise your hands almost like a funnel and just allow Holy Spirit just to drench you this morning. The reason I was thinking about this drench is because I've been making a lot of cakes lately, although I do everything I can to the initial cake prior to frosting it, there's one secret that is amazing that will make your cake really moist, and that is to make a simple syrup and drench your cake, or just rain over your cake so that it adds just another extra amount of moisture prior to frosting, and it makes it really, really good. How many of us need to have that extra drenching today?
So
that extra amount from Jesus. If that's you, like Grandma, like Lil, come up here. Just raise your arms and allow the Holy Spirit just to pour in, just to drench you. Amen?
Hallelujah. Sunday's manna, fresh word, fresh fire, pour it out today, pour it out today, pour it out today. Holy Spirit, pour it out.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep your prayers and your hearts going out towards these individuals who've been up here for prayer, because the Lord's working in them, and I believe He's going to continue to work when they leave today. Amen. Amen. Well, take a few minutes and greet each other. And if you have a fan, you can give it to Gay because she's a little warm. Bless y'all.
Check. Good morning. Good morning, church. Do you have any happy people this Sunday morning?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's good to hear. We're going to do our declarations here in a moment. How many know God loves the city of Yakima? Amen. Okay, so let's do this together in unison. Let's raise, stand to our feet and raise our voices. And we're going to say this with all of our hearts. For those of you that are unaware of what we're doing, this is the declaration over the city of Yakima that we as a staff wrote. And we just believe that God has something amazing for our city. Amen. So together on the count of three, we're going to read this. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley. That my city will be saved. That revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley. That every business, big or small, will thrive. That the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for Yakima. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our city. I thank you, Jesus, for every person that calls this place home, from the Lower Valley, Lord, to Natchez, God, to Tyatin, everywhere in between, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us. You love this city. You're not done with it. We're not just a forgotten city. We're not just some little town in a blip on a map in Washington, God, but that you have something special and unique for the Yakima Valley. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to talk about youth camp real quick. So this last weekend, from the 22nd to the 25th, it was a Friday to a Monday, I got the opportunity to go to Cusick, Washington. Anybody know where Cusick is? Yeah, never. Neither have I. Cusick is a little small town right above Spokane, and so we traveled 4 hours north, and we went to this Riverview Bible Camp is where it's held. We partnered with a few other churches, one other church in town, and then a few other churches that met us up there, and just had a really, really great time. And while I'm talking, you guys are preparing something in your minds. Okay, so we have here's something cool about our youth group. So you might. You probably recognize a few of those kids, but a majority of our youth group is made up of kids that don't go to our church. And I think it's a very unique experience, because it's not that they don't have churches. They actually do have churches and youth groups at their church, but they decide to come to our youth group.
Cool.
And yeah, it's just kind of a cool thing. I don't care whether they come to our group or their group. I just want them to get Jesus,
yeah.
Right? That's my heart fully. Any youth pastor I sit down with, I say, hey, you know, when you win, I win. So if you tell me a testimony about Johnny and your youth group receiving Jesus, I'm celebrating, because I don't need him to find Jesus in my youth group. I just need him to find Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So anyhow, why don't we have Skyly and Caden come up? They're two of the, I think we took nine altogether, something like that, that went up and had a great time. Okay. So you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
One thing that God definitely did for me was during one of the breakout sessions that we had, we talked about not labeling ourselves as anything that we're not. So, like, one thing that I struggle with is anxiety. So not labeling myself as an anxious person and not claiming that anxiety, because it's not mine and not something that God intended for me. And, yeah, I was able to let a lot of that go.
So good. Thank you. Love it. Caden,
Something that God worked on in me is my identity and who I am. I felt like as the pastors were speaking throughout the 3 days that we were there, I just kept thinking, how could I be like them and spread the word of God like them? But he just told me to be me and spread the word of God like I would. So,
amen. Come on. Love it. Give it up for these guys. I mean, such an amazing time. There's other many other testimonies. You know, we had one of our boys the first night after session came into the boys' room, and we, you know, it was an hour of just prayer and crying. Like, I mean, that was our first night, just of stuff that he was getting free. That's night one. Like, we're not even there for 24 hours, and God was already moving in a mighty, mighty way. And so I love youth camp. Again, I continue to say this, like, if you want to sow in any way, whether it's financially or just praying, like, you know, if maybe you don't have a heart to hang out with youth kids every week, that's okay. But if you could just make it a point to pray for this generation, amen, like they need it, and I appreciate it, and it's amazing. So, and it makes a difference. So go kids. Next we have, okay, so we're getting better at communication, I put. So we're using this new app called Flocknote, or this new system called Flocknote. And basically, you guys don't really have to do anything. Just know that you might get a text message from something, and it's going to say, this is One Life Family Worship, and that is us. And so this is just a better way for us to communicate. So Pastor Mike isn't having to send out 10 separate group chats, which he's doing every Sunday, which thank you. But this is just to expedite that process. So if you get a number, it's going to be, we'll use, like, you know, the general number for church events or church things. And so you could just save that as church. And or if we're going to do a men's thing, we'll send a men's text out and so forth. So just be aware if you see something, a number come up, don't ignore it. Make sure you read through it. And obviously we're not going to do anything weird with your phone numbers or anything like that. And so, yeah, so just be aware that that's happening. Yeah, don't sell them online. And then, the last thing, thank you for giving. Thanks for sowing into our house. We have the box over here and the box in the back, and you can give online as well. And we appreciate all you guys give. Amen. So before we pass it over to pastors, this is their last Sunday of the summer. They're going on sabbatical in the month of August, and we're really, really excited and just excited that you guys get this opportunity just to relax and just to unplug. And they're going to spend 2 weeks close to a mountain or in the mountains with little to no cell service, which is my personal nightmare. But for them, they're going to thrive. I'm kidding. It would be great. Yeah. So I just want us to pray for them. They're obviously coming back, but I just want for us to pray them out as they share their last message of the summer, and that they come back with just a fresh wind in their sails and just refreshed. Amen. So if you could just extend your hands to our pastors. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Mike and Gayleen. God, we just pray a blessing over these next few Sundays, God, the month of August, as they get to relax with one another, as they get to relax with you, Lord, as they get to relax with friends and family, Lord. We just pray a blessing, Lord, over their hearts, God, over their minds, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for the things that you're going to speak to them and reveal to them over this time, God. I thank you, Jesus, for their dedication, Lord, to this house, to their dedication to you, God, to the dedication, Lord, to your presence. And I just pray, Lord, that would even grow that much more, God. God, I thank you, Jesus, for their leadership and how they've led this house, Lord. And I just pray that you would bless them, God. Bless, Lord, their time, God, together, and their time together with one another, and their time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.
So before we get started, I want to say just two things off subject, sort of. Thank you, Lil, for letting me use this morning. I appreciate it. It's helping. And the second thing I want to say is youth may not be your wheelhouse. You may be beyond youth or don't get youth, and that's okay. But one way that you can help the youth of this house is every fourth Sunday, is it the end Sunday or end Monday, the last Monday that you do? So the last Monday of every month, Pastor Eric does a dinner fun night thing with the youth. And this month, was kind of not happening because of camp, but last month we actually cooked for the youth. And it was really fun. We got to interact with them and go, you know, be downstairs and serve them and watch them as they ate our food and went yummy, yummy in the tummy and all that stuff. But if you like to cook, or if you would like to order in pizza, or you would like to bring fried chicken or something, if you would like to help, please see Pastor Eric, because that is a way that we can actually speak into the lives of our young people. Is by honoring them and blessing them on the Monday at the end of the month. So if that's something you'd be interested in, please see Pastor Eric. Even just slip him a 20 or a 50 or whatever to even be able to order pizza or something. Just bless our youth, because they are the church. Did you know that? It's not the church of the future. They are the church, just like we are the church. God does not despise their number, their age.
Right.
God can speak through Caden just like he can speak through me or Alex or anybody else.
Amen.
It's the one that's obedient to open their mouth. So let's bless our kids. If that's something you'd like to do, please talk to Pastor Eric. He'd be happy to have you hook up with them and just bless them for a night. So... okay.
Amen.
Commercial over.
It's the last Monday of August, right? And
yes.
Or September. It's the last Monday.
Of every month, yes.
So we've been talking about the will of God, the blueprint of God. And so today the message is called The Will of God, the Blueprint for Your Life. We were talking about blueprints a little bit in the beginning. I haven't really mentioned it again, but I do want us to realize that without a blueprint, without a plan, without a design, that we know when we go to attempt to do something, especially if it has any type of construction or any type of building, anything, if we don't have the plan, a lot of times we can plan to fail. Putting together, a bike that came from the store for Christmas, and again, leftover pieces at the end, and hopefully the kid survives and they were just extra screws that they sent. But I've gotten in the place through the years where I'll watch YouTube videos. I do everything I can now to figure out what to do, because I have failed to plan and I plan to fail. Yeah, me, yeah. That was my early days, like when I was 50. No, like
people. So I want to say why they call it blueprint.
Okay.
So for those of you that don't know, back in the day, a blueprint of a building or of any structure was actually on blue paper, and it had white print, white lines, white everything. And now it's opposite. And so now it really is blueprint on white paper. And what's really amazing is when you look at the blueprint, the original design, keep that in mind, the original design, you can see how the architect planned that building to be in the beginning. I used to work at a building down on, it's now called Staff Sergeant Pendleton Way, and it was used to be the Liberty Building. So years and years and years ago, if you lived in Yakima, you could actually go by, and on the corner of that building, up from the cornerstone, was Lady Liberty, a small version of her, like the Liberty built, out in the New York Harbor.
Statue of Liberty.
It looked just like her, but on a small version. And in the original blueprint, that is actually how the architect designed it, was around her. So this is how God actually designed you. So keep that in mind.
That's good. So I've got a few points that I wanted to go over. This is a little bit of review, but then with a final scripture that really, I think, brings it all together. So First point, the Lord wants to reveal his will for your life. He wants to reveal his will. He doesn't want you to be in the dark. He doesn't want you to sit there and have to try to figure out, well, what's God's plan for my life? Now, specific details, as I've said many times, aren't necessarily given to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that. But his overall design, intention, heart for us, I believe he wants us to know. And he communicates many places in the scripture what it is. So this has been our proof verse. It's 1 Chronicles 28:18-19.
This is the New Living Translation. He designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim, whose wings were stretched out over the ark of the Lord's covenant. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord.
So again, this is about the temple of God that was being built. You know, there was a tabernacle, and then after that, there was kind of a tent meeting that David set up and had the Ark of the Covenant there, and people went and worshiped. But this was for the reestablishment of an official process where the priest was going to go in, and all of those things that happened in the Exodus, book of Exodus, when the Israelites came out of Egypt. And he was reestablishing that. And he was making sure that Solomon knew, without a shadow of a doubt, what those details were. But the Lord was making sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that David knew what those details were. Now, why is this so important? Well, that's a temple. It was in Jerusalem. It was, what, 4,000 years ago, or however long ago? Longer than I've been alive. Exactly. Well, do you know what Jesus said in John 4? He said, the Lord is not interested anymore, I'm paraphrasing, in just temples built with human hands. He's interested in us. And he says, we are now the temple of God. Corinthians talks about it. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the place now where God wants to abide. Now, does it make sense? I mean, would we think that God would rather, you know, be in some cathedral someplace with beautiful ordination and adorned, you know, tapestry, or like the Sistine Chapel that was the painting of Michelangelo's, and that's where God wants to be. That's the most beautiful. No, he chooses the humble things to confound the wise. And he chooses to live and dwell in us. And so I believe if he was so specific about the plan for David to build an earthly temple, which we know by Jesus' own confession, that now he's more interested in the place of worship as being us, then I think he's going to let us know how we're to live and how we're to serve him, how we're to be this temple of the Holy Spirit. You have anything?
Well, I'm just thinking here, and I hope, David, if you don't mind, I'm going to use you as an example. Is that all right with you, son? All right. So David is a really busy man. He is a firefighter out at Hanford, and he works a lot of hours, and he drives back and forth from Hanford to Yakima, or, well, Selah now. They live out in Selah. And David could be, I'm not saying he is, I'm just using this as an example. David could be sitting there and saying in his mind, now I'm a dad of three young kids, six and under. I'm a husband of a wife, a man of this big house, a guy that works an hour plus away from my own home, and I don't get to be with my family every single night because he sleeps out there when he's on call. How am I going to fit God into all that? It makes no sense how I'm going to work that all out. But that's when he said he takes the humble things to confound the wise.
Yeah.
We might think we're smart enough to figure that out. Well, we're not. God has a plan for David's life. Did you all know that? This mm-hmm. is a called man of God.
Yep.
He has been earmarked for years. God hasn't revealed all of it yet, but it's already in the works. How many of us agree with that in our spirit? We know he's called.
Amen.
Sometimes he may not feel like he's called. Sometimes he may question the calling. But it does not change that God is using things, us humble little units that we are, to confound what looks like we know what's all going on. So yeah, on the outside it may not look like God's got that, but God's got David. God has this all worked out. We don't need to worry about that. David doesn't need to worry. You don't need to worry, called man of God. You don't need to worry. Just let it happen. Can we all just let it happen and not be so caught up in things that are so easy for God? We get so wrapped up in what we think is the problem and the issue. Can we just let that go and let God?
That's good.
That's all we have to do. Let go and just let God take care of it.
That's really good.
Can you do that? That's the only thing that God is asking. Can you just let go of it and let me just handle it? Because his plan is yes and amen. David, for you, son.
Amen.
Herman, for you.
Amen. And for everyone.
Everybody
here.
Else. Just like these youth, we're all lined up here this morning. Every single one of them, you could feel the depth of their hunger for the Lord. And then over here are these three young boys, and then over here is our sweet Lil. And Lil is just as hungry as they are, and God even has a plan for Lil. Not even, but he does have a plan
for Lil. Never too young, never too old.
Never too young, never too old, never too done. And when you feel like you're done, just say, Lord, I'm just going to put myself in your hands because you got this.
That's good. So renewing your mind is a vital key in understanding the will of the Lord for your life. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. So what does this mean? This means that as we renew our mind and don't allow ourselves to be molded by the world, the pressures of the world, the teachings of the world, encouragement of the world, all of these things, the advertisements of the world, all of the things that try to entice you into following a worldly pattern. If we don't follow those and instead renew our mind with the Word, renew our mind with spending time with God, renew our mind with spending time in fellowship with brothers and sisters, then you know what's going to happen is that we're going to be able to test and know. I mean, I don't think I've actually given myself a test before to see what the will of God is. But what it means is that we'll know in our being. It's like we'll be able to say, how many have ever said, I think I've got a check in my spirit about that. And what it basically means is like all of a sudden something doesn't feel right. Maybe someone's asked you to do something or you were going to do something. All of a sudden you think, well, I don't think I should do that. And you don't do it. And it's because you're being able to test and approve what God's perfect will is. You know, I love the scripture that says a man makes plans in his own heart what he's going to do. But the Lord directs his steps. You know, I believe that even if we're thinking that we're going to do something, if we're submitted to God and we're going to do something against his will, that he can get us back on track.
Right.
Amen. I love that. So here's another one. What is the will of God for my life? Yes, that's my Memoji. I thought I'd show that one more time. That's so funny. But what that's a question we ask. What is the will of God for my life? So we had a few things that we put down that basically say, this is the will of God for you. And one of them is from Mark 3:35. Go ahead. There we go.
For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother.
I included this because this is when Jesus was asked to go out and see his brothers and sisters and his mother because he was in teaching. And he looked around and said, well, who is my brother, my sister, my mother? And then he says, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and my mother. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean this is like telling you to do this, but this is a good reason to do it because it is part of our relationship with God and doing his will and pleasing him. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. Actually, it's three. It's just three this time.
Four, three, yeah. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality.
God's will for our lives. You don't have to go to a prophetic meeting to find this out. You don't have to go to tape series to find out this is part of His will for us, is that we keep these temples sanctified, holy. We keep them set apart. We abstain from sexual immorality. And why is that? Well, it's because, what did I say earlier? We're the temple of God. We are His temple. And so why would we, as the temple of God, represent it poorly by not keeping ourselves sexually pure? 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Everything give thanks. You know, we worship, we praise Him, we sing songs on Sunday, but sometimes we just need to give thanks. You know, there's a song that I think it's Jonathan Helser sings, and I think it's just a thank you, if I remember right. It's like, thank you. I can't remember. We haven't done it for a while, but it's just thanking the Lord. And I love that. You know, I love that, a song that says, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Now, obviously, we could all sing it and our hearts wouldn't be into it. So it really has to be from the heart. Mm-hmm. We really have to be grateful. We really have to be thankful. And how do we make ourselves grateful and thankful? You have to meditate on the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just looking at all your problems all the time, you're looking at everything that's going wrong. You're looking at everything that's going wrong in the world. You're looking at all the potential disasters that are going to come. You're probably not going to be thanking the Lord very much. But if we're meditating on Him, remembering what He's done for us, remembering what He's done for us already, delivering us, saving us, taking us out of the kingdom of darkness, bringing into the kingdom of the Son of His love. In other words, we're saved. We're saved. We're sanctified. We're holy. He's like we prayed, our lives are being restored. You know, what a great time to thank the Lord is when we're taking communion. Be thankful, grateful for what He's done. And when we do that, it's the will of God.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. Go ahead.
It's our choice. Are we going to submit or resist the will of God for our lives?
It's a choice. All of us are free will agents. Nobody is twisting your arm here. I don't come to your house in the morning, you know, at 6 a.m. while you're still in bed, by the way. Or maybe earlier for some, I'd have to catch up with you. It's probably you guys are probably up real early. But I say 3:30 and say, hey, let's get up. Let's start our prayer time. Let's start reading our word. Let's start, the Holy Spirit hardly even does that. I mean, the Holy Spirit lets you, snooze the alarm, because God made us free will agents. We can serve Him or we can serve mammon. We can serve Him or we can serve the devil. We can serve Him or we can serve our own desires. We have the choice. And so part of serving Him is submitting to Him, submitting to His will, not our own agenda, not our own plans, not our own ways. And a good verse for that is... right
three
here.
Verses.
Yep, three verses.
Mark 14:36. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.
Abba, Father. This is Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, said that He was sweating great drops of blood. This is Him saying, I don't want this cross. I don't want it. I mean, I know that's hard for us to grasp because we see Him ultimately going to the cross, but He did not want to go to the cross. He was not, oh, goody, I get to go there. No, no. He in Himself, the Father, is there any other plan? Is there a plan B, a plan C? Is there somebody else that you've got in the wings that can do this? No, He was the one. And He said, nevertheless, not what I want, if I want you to remove this cup, I know, but I know that that's not the best. I will let your will be done. Your will, but what you will. Not what I will, but what you will. That's submission. That's perfect submission. And that's submission when it's going to cost you. You know, I love what David said here when I said cost you. There was a time that David had to offer something to God, and he was going to offer at somebody's threshing floor. I can't remember the name of the man. And this gentleman was an owner of this threshing floor, and David said, here, I want to buy it from you because I'm going to present an offering, because the angel that was destroying the city because of David's numbering of the people was standing there being on a pause. And so David was going to offer a sacrifice, and the man who owned this said, hey, David, you just take it. You're king. You just take it. He goes, no, you know what? I'm going to pay you the full price for this building because I'm not going to give anything to God that doesn't cost me nothing. You ever thought about that? Are we giving God things that cost us very little, or are we giving to God things that cost us? Something to think about. Psalm 143:10.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground.
And we talked about this, that this is us saying, Lord, teach me to do your will. And then when you're teaching me your will, help your spirit lead me to the right way, to the right path, to level ground. And then James 4:7 is just about like it.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
So submitting to God gives us an opportunity to be able to resist the devil. He doesn't get to keep messing with your brain, messing with your heart, messing with your mind all the time. When we submit to God, and submitting isn't like, God, I submit to you. It's not lip service. It's, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I submit to your will for my life. As much as it may hurt, as much as it may frustrate me, as much as it may not be my design, my desire, I submit to you. And when we do that, we can resist the devil and he has to flee. Mm-hmm. All right. We need to find out what pleases the Lord.
Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
And Psalm 69:30-31.
I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves.
So having a desire to please the Lord is having a desire to do his will. And he is more pleased with our obedience than with any other sacrifice we can offer. And what would be considered a sacrifice? Well, getting up early and reading your Bible, or giving your tithe, or doing something that says, I'm doing it for the kingdom of God, and I'm honoring the Lord with it, and I'm sacrificing here, you know, or going and working at a work day or something like that. I could have went out and golfed with my friends, but I'm going to go work. But if you do those things, you sacrifice, but you're not obedient when he asks you to do something,
right?
Then all of those sacrifices don't mean anything.
Or work Monday through Saturday and still wake up on Sunday and come to church.
Yeah, that's another
Sometimes
one. Exactly.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you've put in a long, long week, it's like, this is my only day to sleep in, my only day to have mindless drivel. That's what I call it. But God will bless and honor you if...
Right.
You even come to church and...
But even that sacrifice, if you sacrifice every Sunday and you're working 6 days a week, if you're not obedient, though, when he asks you to do something, your obedience is more pleasurable to him than sacrifice.
Right.
We need to remember that. Okay, this is what I wanted to land on today. Final point. We're at it now. 12 o'clock.
Oh,
11:54. Good.
Yeah,
this computer's off 5 minutes, so you know... Okay, here we go. The Lord's kingdom coming is connected with his will. What does that mean, Pastor Mike? The Lord's kingdom coming is connected with his will? Well, just think about this. Matthew 6, it's actually verse 10. We didn't do through 13.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And do you guys know what that is? It's often called the Lord's Prayer. It's the very beginning of the prayer that Jesus told his disciples how he was teaching them how to pray. And he started off, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So I believe, and this is just me, I don't have like another 100 verses, but I believe the Bible is clear if you take the full counsel of the Word of God and the Bible, that as we live out the will of God, his kingdom comes. That as we surrender and submit our will to his will, in other words, let as Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. We see in Jesus as the prime example, his kingdom came. He went to the cross. Lives were changed. We were changed eventually, thousands of years later. As we move out and follow what we know the Lord's will is for our life, what pleases God, his kingdom will come. His kingdom will come in our workplace. His kingdom will come in our families. His kingdom will come in our recreational time. It won't be like his kingdom will come at church on Sunday morning from 10:30 to 12, and then we head out at 12:15 or whatever. Yeah, at 12:15 and okay. Well, his kingdom came for an hour and a half. Or his kingdom came for an hour and 45 minutes. Or for those who get here real early, his kingdom came for 2 hours. Wow, how amazing. No, when we live out his will, his kingdom is coming. We don't have to sit there and want, oh, I want your kingdom to come. If we are walking in the will of God, the plan of God, the design of God, we're pleasing him because we know what pleases him, his kingdom's going to come. I believe that means we're going to see miracles. We're going to see lives change. We're going to see hearts that will turn towards God. Yes, we'll see those that will resist us because not everybody wants the kingdom of God right now. But we will be Christ on earth as his representatives. But we will be living out his kingdom, that his kingdom has dominion and reign over situations and circumstances.
Kind of reminds me of a faucet that turns on and doesn't turn off unless you turn it off.
Yeah.
Are you the one shutting off the flow of the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you shutting the valve down? Or is it open and can rain as free and flow as much as it wants to?
That's true. So what does this mean? This means that we have an opportunity, just as David did, as you were explaining, that we don't have to be set apart in a ministry titled position.
Right.
Our workplace can be a place where the kingdom of God comes and lives change. Yeah. I've had it happen before in my life. When I worked a 40-hour week, as I met people, as I was introduced to people, different clients and stuff, as they met me, different vendors and stuff. I've had vendors call me up years later, and I was just living my life. I was just living my life. I was not preaching to him every single day. I was just being who I was in God's will, doing what I knew God wanted me to do at that time. He called me up years later, and he said, "I just want to let you know that I've given my life to Jesus, and your testimony and your testimony, the way you lived, has contributed to that." And I'm like, so it happens. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to go crazy, you know. Yeah, you don't have to make people hate you. You love people. You be kind. You let the kingdom of God exude from you, and things will change. I think we want instant answers. We want things to happen right now. We want to see this place full of people right now because we think, well, with only 20, 30, 40 people on Sunday, not much is going on. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Because we do not realize the power of a seed. We don't realize the power of God watering a plant. We don't realize the power of God tending to his garden. And we're in his garden right now. He's working on our hearts. He's working on our lives. And just because we don't see a result right now, there could be hundreds and thousands of people that are affected in the future that never end up stepping in here, but are transformed. And if that isn't something to rejoice over,
amen,
then are we in the wrong, I don't want us to call it business, but are we doing the wrong thing if that's the case? If we think it's things that we have to see here in the natural right now, We're fooling ourselves because that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, you can't say is over here, over there. It's in us. And when you guys leave this place today, you're representatives and carrying the kingdom of God. And how you live out this week, in the weeks to come, the month that we're gone, this coming year, next year, will either produce the kingdom of God for others, or just nothing, or also expand the darkness. Because we can represent darkness even though God wants us to represent his kingdom. We can represent darkness. If we choose our own ways and we choose the way of the enemy, we're not representing the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God doesn't work in us when we're not doing what God wants us to do. You know, it's as Christians, and I've said this before, and it's hard. It hurts my heart when I say it, but we're either going to be serving Jesus and loving Jesus and worshiping Jesus, or we're going to be worshiping the devil, loving the devil, serving the devil. There's no gray area in God. Yeah. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. The thing is, we don't want to even think about that. Oh, you mean I'm doing things? Yeah, when you are surrendering your will and you're doing things that please your flesh, it glorifies the enemy, not God. You're quiet.
Thinking.
Too quiet. Does anyone have anything else after this? Because that is my final point. We are carriers of God and carriers of his kingdom, and we can change this earth. It can be like heaven here on earth if we live like he wants us to live. In other words, people can experience heaven now if we are exuding and exhibiting the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was so, you know, sought after, and people were so attracted to him because they felt heaven. They felt eternity. They felt love. They felt the presence of God. And if we can be displayers of that, communicators of that, we can transform our world. Amen. Anyone? Anything? Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Mom's saying the Lord really touched her this morning, and she's thanking him. Amen. And you don't have to wait to church to get touched. That's the whole beauty of it. It's nice when it happens, but we can all be touched laying in our beds. We can all be touched walking in a park somewhere. God loves to reach our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. You got a song for us, bro? All right.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more. Soul that I can't contain, that I can't.
set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. Yeah, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Did you already have that queued up today? That's funny. I was praying in the prayer room this morning, and I was just thinking about the heat and the heat wave that we've had, excessive heat, as the weather app says. And I was just praying that God's fire would burn in us. And I said, just like the song said, a fire. So Holy Spirit's been working here today. He's got the service in his hands. Now you just have to say you're going to let your life stay in his hands. Are you going to continue to submit to his will, his plan, his purposes for your life? It's your choice. Father, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that everyone that has heard my voice and will hear my voice in the future, Lord, that your drawing, Lord, would take place. You would draw them to a deeper commitment, a fresher walk, Lord, a more active time with you, Lord, that your will would be done in their life and that your kingdom would come, Lord. Lord, that you'd renew their mind, you'd transform their hearts, change the way they've been thinking, help the world stay off of them so they're not being conformed to the world. Lord, we know that you desire for us to know how to live this life for you. And so, Lord, we just receive right now by faith the guidance, the leading of the Holy Spirit to know how to live holy, sanctified, separated lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. We will see you in September. Sounds good.